living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who's seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as if it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked, and around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Woo! It's a lot going on, isn't it? That's what's going on in heaven. It is not boring. The first act is Revelation chapter 4. And we see one who, and I talked about that 2 weeks ago, John's struggling for words. And he keeps saying he had appearance like this, and it was like this, and it was like this. God is not like us. He's holy. And what's described about him, it's very similar to what we find in Exodus. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, we see these creatures, and we've seen them before. In Isaiah chapter 6, Ezekiel saw them too. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, this one who was seated on the throne, he's not like us. He's holy. He's set apart. He's separate from us, and he's holy. And the song that they sing about that one that's seated on the throne at the end of Revelation 4, they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy," just like they sang, just like Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. Heaven is, some of us like old hymns, some of us like new songs. I like them both. But you know what? In heaven, you've got both. You've got both old and new. And here in Revelation 4, they're singing an old song. And they never stop singing it. Holy, holy, holy. Day and night without ceasing, they sing that song. And they're singing this one. And you look at the end in Revelation chapter 4. Holy is he. For you created all things, and by your will they were existed and created. They're singing about creation. And you look at the Psalms and you look throughout the Old Testament, God is a creator. And we tend to notice that and are awed by that in the spring and in the fall with the beautiful flowering trees. You guys have beautiful dogwood trees here in Des Moines, absolutely beautiful. That tree out there and the one down there at the Old Presbyterian Church, just breathtakingly beautiful. And I've loved walking up and down Main Street, seeing those beautiful dogwood trees. They're just breathtakingly beautiful. And been enjoying and taking walks around town. And a couple days ago, I was walking, there was this little groundhog, and he was just so cute. He was sitting there watching me, and he kind of ran along with me for a while, and it just brought delight to my soul. And it doesn't take long to look outside and see the sunrise and the sunset, and God created all that. And he's worthy to be worshipped, and he's worthy to be praised. Psalm 8 says that the heavens declare his glory. And even Job, he's lamenting and going after God, and his friends are not being really helpful, and they're saying, Job, you should have, would have, could have done this, and this happened to you because of this, 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 and this. And Job is lamenting, and you come down to the end of the book of Job. I think it's Job 38. And God finally speaks, and he says, Job, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? Where were you, Job? And we need to stand in awe of God as a creator. Everything that we see, he made that. It's beautiful. And so this first act is God is the creator. He's a holy God, and he sits on the throne. He's worthy to be worshipped because he's the creator of all things. And I love what happens because we see this image of, it's very Old Testament in Revelation chapter 4. And then you come to Revelation chapter 5. And have you ever gone somewhere where you're kind of overwhelmed and you can only kind of take in one thing at a time? We do that when we go to, you know, beautiful theater or we look at a beautiful scenery. And the more we look at it, the more we see. That's what is going on with John here. He's seen this awesome view in Revelation chapter 4. Then in Revelation 5, he starts seeing more details. And the second act, here we come, Revelation 5 is the second act. Revelation 5, 1 through 4. He sees it's the same, but he's seeing more details. And it's kind of like when you, like a cinematographer, when they're filming a movie, and you go to a movie and you watch it, you're watching a scene, and you're seeing one view, and then the camera turns and you see something else. And the camera turns again and you see something else. That's kind of what's going on here. And so he's seen something and now he sees more details. This one who sits on this throne, this one who is holy, this one who's a God of the Old Testament, there's no one like him. He's standing there and he sees something else. And what does he see? The one that's seated on the throne, he has a scroll. And this scroll is written in front and in back. And he has this scroll in his right hand. It's really interesting that that it's described that way, because ancient scrolls were not written on the back. They're only written on one side. And the scribe would pick which side, because there's usually one side on a piece of parchment that's a little bit easier to write. There's natural grooves in it. And so he'll write on one side and the other side isn't written on. When Jesus got up in the Gospel of Luke, and it says a scroll was handed to him, he unrolls that scroll, it's Isaiah 61, and he reads it, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord's anointed me to preach good news. And he goes on, and he rolls up the scroll, and hands it to the attendant. And when he would have rolled up that scroll, there wouldn't have been anything on that other side. And then Jesus says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. But ancient Near East scrolls were not written on both sides. So that's incredibly unique. And if you've ever built a house or you've had been around plans or been around somebody that's built a house, you have architects. And architects all the time are carrying scrolls, right? They're carrying plans. And this one who's seated on the throne, he has a scroll in his right hand. And it's written in the front and in the back. And it's sealed with seven seals. Again, very, very unique. And a seal, have you, any of you all ever gotten a letter? And these usually scare us when we get them. To be opened only by, the, and it's sealed. It could be a, years ago, I had flown out to, where did I go? It was somewhere in California. The city is right now escaping me. I went out, flew out to California, and as I was landing at San Diego, and as I was landing back in St. Louis, as I turned my phone on, I had like 8 voice messages from my brother, and he was like, April, there's this letter. It was addressed only to you, but you weren't here, so I opened it, and your car's been stolen, and he's all panicked because I'm getting all these certified letters from the state of Illinois, and he's all panicked. And so I landed thinking, oh no, my car's been stolen. And what it ended up being, there was a car up in Chicago that had the same license plate that I did, but all those letters were addressed to me. And thankfully my brother opened them, we got it all figured out. But you get a letter like that, and it's really important, right? It says only to be opened by you. And that's what those scrolls being sealed with those seven seals would have meant. Very important, very dignified, very only a dignitary. Only the person could open that. And it's unique that it's seven. And this is the second set of sevens that we've seen in the book of Revelation. We've seen the seven churches. And now we have the seven seals. And soon we're going to have the seven vials and the trumpets and the bowls. So it's the second series of seven. So it's very unique. What does that scroll represent? This scroll that's unique, this scroll that's double-sided, that's not normal and it's sealed with seven seals. What does that scroll represent? That scroll represents all of human history. All of human history, all redemptive history. This second act here, the second movement in the symphony, Revelation 4 and 5, this represents the fall. This represents what is in Genesis chapter 3. God created heaven and earth. He created man and woman, and he wanted a relationship with them. He wanted that intimacy with them. April, you're making connections here. What? I don't understand. What? I don't see that connection. We know that by this seal with seven seals, there's an angel, and he's saying in Revelation 5, verse 2, who's worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? This seal that is history, this seal that represents power, it represents all of human history. Who's worthy? Who's worthy? Who's worthy? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep because no one was found worthy. Man and woman sinned against God. They rebelled against him. And there was eternal separation between God and man. And who is found worthy? This history that God has created and this relationship that he wanted to have and it's been broken. Oh no! What's going to happen? Death has entered the world. Sin has entered the world. Oh no! And John is weeping because no one can fix it. No one can fix it. Death has entered the world and nothing can be done. No matter how far we advance in science, it's over and it's done. Death is death. We try to postpone getting older, we put fancy creams on, we take vitamins, we do all this stuff, but we're all gonna, if the Lord gives us 80 years, we're all gonna get old and we're all 90, 100, whatever, we're gonna die. Death has entered and it seems hopeless, it's over. God's plan of this relationship that he wanted, and John is feeling the brokenness of that, the fall of man, he feels it. Oh God, it's over. Eternal separation. What can be done? And he's weeping. He's weeping because it's over. It's over. Movement 3, Act 3. What happens? It seems all hope is gone. But one of the elders in verse 5, this is one of the rare times that the elders speak. The elders, if you trace them, and we're going to look at them through the book of Revelation, the elders, they represent, I talked a couple weeks ago, there's 24 of them, and that's a symbol, told you when we first started, that the Revelation is full of images, and it's full of Old Testament imagery, and that 24 is one of those images. And it represents the 12 tribes in the Old Testament and the 12 apostles. And they spend a whole lot of time on their face. They're falling down a lot in worship. But this is one of the rare times that they speak. One of the elders comes. John is overwhelmed with the brokenness of this world, the death of this world, the separation with that God that we see in Revelation 4, the Holy One. Oh, what can be done? One of the elders said, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." He's proclaiming the good news. I heard somebody years ago tell me, "Well, April, there's not going to be any preaching in heaven." I don't think that's true. This elder is preaching, right? He's saying the good news. Hey, John, it's not over. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's triumphed. And after that proclamation, after that word is declared, John hadn't seen it yet, but as that word is proclaimed, what does he see? What does he see? And again, nothing has changed. It's just he has eyes to see. And then suddenly, he's seen the one who sits on the throne. He's seen that he has a scroll. Then he sees there's one standing between the throne and the four living creatures. "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain." That's a very tame translation of that. The image here, "I saw a lamb standing as though it had its throat slit." That lamb has been slaughtered, but that lamb stands. Yvonne asked me when she came in, she's like, "April, is it lamp stand or is it the lamb stands?" It's the lamb stands, because that is not what's supposed to happen, right? You slaughter a lamb, that lamb is laid out, which is what they had to do in the Old Testament. That was their sacrifice. But this lamb who has his throat slit, he's a lamb and he stands. He stands and he has these Old Testament titles, the Root of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he sees this lamb. Now I'm going to focus in on this next week. This is a funky looking lamb, because look at it. It has seven horns and seven eyes. We're going to talk about that next week, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Because the lamb, Jesus. And it's interesting because that the elder, when he says, "Don't weep because the Lion of the tribe of Judah," that's his title. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But the Lion is the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? The Lion is the Lamb. The Lamb is the one who's triumphed. And the Lamb now is the Lion. And he takes that scroll that it contains all of human history, where there was hopelessness, where there was death, when it was all over, separation. And he takes that scroll, and God has used that now, and he's a redeemer, and he restores that relationship. And no longer is death the end. No longer is there hopelessness, because now Jesus has died, and he rose again, and we have hope, and we have living hope. The Lamb that was slaughtered, the Lamb stands. That's Act 3. And he sees this lamb. It's triumphed. He's overcome. He defeated sin and he defeated death. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after the fall, after man and woman have sinned, the serpent has deceived them, God speaks and he says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He speaks to the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. "I will put enmity," or "I will put hatred, between you," the serpent, "and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." You can also translate, "He will crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, is the first inclination of what God's going to do. His plan, this intimacy that he wanted to have with us, man sinned, and there's eternal separation now until the Lamb came. And when Jesus came, left glory, became a human being, died on the cross, the enemy, the serpent, thought he had him. Thought, it's over, man. There's going to be no life. I've got the human race. There's no hope. I've got him. But when he rose again, the serpent crushed Jesus' heel. But when Jesus rose again, he crushed the serpent's head. And he rules and he reigns. Hallelujah. His eyes are open. And he sees the Lamb. Act 4. What's the response of that? He takes that scroll. There's hope now. There's life now. He's worthy. He takes that scroll. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. There we have harps. We also have golden bowls full of incense. You know what? There are many of you that have been praying prayers for a long time. You know what incense does? There's a fragrance to it, and it goes up. The prayers that we pray, I believe they're eternal. The prayers your mama, your daddy, your grandparents prayed for you, they go up before the Lord, and he smells it, and he remembers it, and it goes up before the throne, and they're singing, and they say, what's their song? Worthy. You are worthy. Why? Because you were slain, and by your blood, you ransomed, you brought them back, people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice, and he's struggling for words here, but it's like millions, millions and millions, millions and millions. Worthy is the Lamb. They're singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Worship. He's holy and he's worthy. And in Romans chapter 8, we tend not to focus on this. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But in Romans chapter 8, when Jesus died on the cross and God sent his son to repair that relationship so he could open the scroll, and there's hope for us now. We don't have to weep and mourn without hope. That when Jesus came and he died, not only did he bring redemption to us, but he brought redemption to creation. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, Romans 8, I think it's chapter 15. Have your Bibles, flip over there for just a second, because this is so beautiful. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Make sure that's my right reference. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans 8, 19. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. That creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth until now. And later on in the book of Revelation, we see God's creating a new heaven and a new earth. There's redemption for creation as well. I enjoy looking at the flowers. I enjoy looking at the little animals outside. But you don't have to look around long to see how the fall has affected. We have water that's corrupt, water that's poisoned, and there's trash and there's dirt. And we have soiled, and sin has come in. And not only has it separated us from God, but it's soiled creation too. And what we see in these songs is that Jesus' cross has brought hope to creation as well. And so we have, not only are the people singing worthy, but all the animals are singing worthy as well. Are you hurting this morning? Are you grieving this morning? And we have worry, and we have sin has entered the world, and it's really easy to get overwhelmed and feel lost and lose hope. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, he has triumphed. And he has taken that scroll out of the right hand of God Almighty. And he rules and he reigns. And as there's worship going on in heaven right now, not only are they singing holy, but they are saying worthy, worthy. Lord, you are worthy. You are good. You are good. You are good. And you've ransomed us. You've forgiven us. You've given us hope. That's a good news, y'all. That is good news. Are you hopeless this morning? Are you discouraged this morning? Jesus paid it all on the cross. And we live in a time where he's paid it all, and it's kind of, we're living in this time of not yet. We don't see it all in fruit. We don't see it all yet. We don't see it all yet, but it's been done. And may we enter in to the praise and the joy of heaven and sing with heaven. Lord, you're worthy because you died on the cross. All history is your hand. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You hold all history. You hold all history. He is our hope. He is our hope. And he rules and he reigns and he has triumphed. Will you enter in to the praise of heaven? Will you enter in? In your bulletin, there is, I've printed out, just say with me, you can find it, the worship reading. Taken from Revelation 5. And then after we do this, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Enter into that worship of heaven. Revelation 5, 12 through 13. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Say it with me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amen. Father, we praise you that your name is faithful and true. We praise you, Jesus, that you're the Lamb who stands. You've been slaughtered, but you stand. And God raised him from the dead. And all authority has been given to you. You hold the scroll. You hold all human history. This world is not going to hell in a handbasket. You hold it. You hold it. You rule and you reign and you're faithful and you are true. And Lord, you know that we live in a broken world. You know that creation is broken. You know that sin and death has entered in. Lord, you know that we weep. You know that we mourn. You know that. But Lord, we thank you that you've triumphed and the victory that you've won. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would encourage your people. Encourage your people. Lord, where they've lost hope, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would feed them hope. Lord, where there is sin, where we've been affected by death, Lord, and we just need encouragement, and we need to see what John saw. We need to have our eyes opened. Not only are you holy, and you rule and you reign, but the Lamb stands. He stands, and that means you rule and you reign, and may we enter into worship. Father, we're going to worship something. We're going to worship something. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would worship you and you alone, that we would be men and women that fear you, that we would enter in. Lord, I thank you for what's going on in heaven right now. And Lord, I pray we would hear it. I pray we would see it. And Lord, help us to enter in. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand and let's sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Lord is good. He rules and he reigns, and he doesn't want us to live in sorrow. Jesus bore our sorrows and our sins, and we can have victory in him. Let's sing, all hail the power. Father, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Comfort your people. Encourage your people. Pray with me the covenant prayer. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, I pray you'd fill your people with hope, and may we overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit as we go into a dark and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.